morning.
Good morning,
so we continued the diary, 1938, I think it's the last year on earth, living on earth. Now I continued from last week, eh? And at that moment, I saw myself in some kind of a palace. And Jesus gave me his hand, set me at his side, and said this with kindness. My bride, you always please me by your humility. The greatest misery does not stop me from uniting myself to a soul, but where there is pride, I'm not there. You understand? When we are proud, Jesus cannot be close to us. When I came to myself, I reflected on what had happened in my heart, thanking God for his love and for the mercy that he had shown me. Jesus, hide me, just as you have hidden yourself under the form of the white horse, so hide me from human eyes, and particularly hide the gifts which you so kind grant me. May I not betray outwardly what you are effecting in my soul. I'm a white horse before you, O divine priest. Consecrate me yourself and make my transubstantiation be known only to you. I stand before you each day as a sacrificial host and implore your mercy upon the world. In silence and unseen, I will empty myself before you. My pure and undivided love will burn in profound silence as a holocaust, and may the fragrance of my love be wafted to the foot of your throne. You are the Lord of Lords, but you delight in innocent and humble souls. This is a very good concept, man. We be the host. Let Jesus consecrate us to be another Jesus, but nobody can see, just a white host. It's Jesus living in the host. He is there. We don't see him. So we be the host. That's what Faustina say. We be the host, and not Jesus. And that Jesus comes in. Is it beautiful? Wherever you go, be the host. When I entered the chapel for a moment, the Lord said to me, my daughter, help me to save a certain dying sinner. Say the chaplet that I have taught you for him. It's very important. Before the sick people, dying people, say the divine mercy. When I began to say the chaplet, I saw the man dying in the midst of a terrible torment and struggle. His guardian angel was defending him, but he was, as it were, powerless against the enormity of the soul's misery. A multitude of devils was waiting for the soul. But while I was saying the chaplet, I saw Jesus just as he is depicted in the image. The rays which issued from Jesus' heart enveloped the sick man, and the powers of the darkness fled in panic. So when you call upon divine mercy, Jesus is light. Take away the evil spirit. The sick man peacefully breathed his last. When he came to myself, I understood how very important the chaplet was for the dying. It appeases the anger of God. Before, I didn't do much in this way. But last week, I was giving unction to old lady, their parents, some family members. Some are not Catholic even. They're Christians. Sometimes they don't believe these things. But before I give the unction, a few Catholics together, we say the chaplet, divine mercy first, and then give the unction. When I was apologizing to the Lord Jesus for a certain action of mine, which a little later turned out to be imperfect, Jesus put me with these words, "My daughter, I reward you for the purity of your intention which you had at the time when you acted." Although sometimes we did something wrong unintentionally, but Jesus takes the good intention of us. So if you have a good intention to do something, although something might be wrong, you don't know, Jesus will take it. Don't worry. "My heart rejoiced that you had my love under," sorry, Jesus says that, "My heart rejoiced that you had my love under consideration at the time you acted, and that in so distinct a way, and even now you still derive benefits from this, that is, from the humiliation. Yes, my child, I want you to always have such great purity of intention in the very least things you undertake. Have a good intention with love, true love, pure love for people. That's very important." Another paragraph. "As I took the pen in hand, I addressed a short prayer to the Holy Spirit and said, 'Jesus, bless this pen so everything you order me to write may be for the glory of God.' Then I heard a voice, 'Yes, I bless it, because this writing bears the seal of obedience to my superior, to your superior and confessor. And by that very fact, I'm already given glory, and many souls will be drawing profits from it. My daughter, I demand that you devote all your free moments to write about my goodness and mercy. It is your office and your assignment throughout your whole life to continue to make known to souls the great mercy I have for them and to exhort them to trust in my bottomless mercy." So the assignment is just to write down whatever Jesus is asking you to write. She's very weak, no strength at all. So if she doesn't write, she didn't write, you don't know anything about it. Of course, it's very personal, but also whatever, it's a gift of God, is always communal, belong to one another, because we are the body of Christ. "Oh my Jesus, I believe in your words and no longer have any doubts about this, because in the course of one conversation with Mother Superior, she told me to write more about your mercy." So, just confirmation. The Superior asked her to do so. "That statement was very much in accord with your request. Oh my Jesus, I now understand that if you demand something from a soul, you also inspire the superiors to allow us to fulfill your demands, even though it sometimes happens that we do not receive permission at once, and our patience is often put to the test." Is it correct? "Oh, everlasting love, Jesus, who have enclosed yourself in the host, and therein hide your divinity and conceal your beauty, you do this in order to give yourself the whole and entire to my soul, in order not to terrify it with your greatness." So we serve the glory of God, we dare not approach Jesus. So we are simple hosts, we come closer and closer, we don't feel much things. But you see the glory of God, you will be blind, scared. It's great. "Eternal lights, incomprehensible fountain of joy and happiness, because you want to be heaven on earth to me, that indeed you are, when you love, O God, imparts itself to me. O great and merciful God, infinite goodness, today all mankind calls out from the abyss of his misery to your mercy, to your compassion, O God. And it is with its mighty voice of misery that he cries out, 'Gracious God, Do not reject the prayers of these earth's exiles. O Lord, goodness beyond our understanding, you are acquainted with our misery through and through, and know that by our own power we can ascend to you. We implore you, anticipate us with your grace and keep on increasing your mercy in us, that we may faithfully do your holy will all through our life and at death's hour. Let the omnipotence of your mercy shield us from the darts of the salvation's enemies, that we may with confidence as your children await your final coming, that day known to you alone. So always prepare for the last day. Your final coming, that day known to you alone. And we expect to obtain everything promised us by Jesus in spite of all our wretchedness. For Jesus is our hope. Through his merciful heart, as through an open gate, we pass through to heaven. So Jesus is the gate. I've noticed that from the very moment I entered the convent, I have been charged with one thing, namely that I'm a saint. But this word was always used scoffingly. At first, this hurts me very much, but when I had reasoned about it, I paid no attention to it. However, on one occasion, a certain person, perhaps Father Sepulchro, suffered because of my sanctity. I was very pained that because of me, others can experience some unpleasantness. And I began to complain to the Lord Jesus, asking why this should be so. And the Lord answered, "You are sad because of this? Of course, you are a saint. Soon I myself will make this manifest in you, and they will pronounce the same word, saints. Only this time it will be with love." So, since she's a saint, people surrounding her suffers. So Poco is the spiritual director. Since he believes in her, so people scorned him. "Well, how can you believe in that sister? It's just imaginations." They didn't believe much that she got inspiration from Jesus. They just thought her, the sisters, thought her something wrong with her mind. So those who are close to her or believing in her or trusting her, so they say, you're insane. Now, the word of Jesus. "I remind you, my daughter, that as often as you hear the clock strike the third hour, immerse yourself completely in my mercy, adoring and glorifying it. Invoke his omnipotence for the whole world, in particular for poor sinners. For at that moment, mercy was opened wide for every soul." The third hour, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 p.m., only two times. "In this hour, you can obtain everything for yourself and for others for asking. It was the hour of grace for the whole world. Mercy triumphed over justice. My daughter, try your best to make the stations of the cross in this hour, provided that your duties permit it. And if you are not able to make the station of the cross, then at least step into the chapel for a moment and adore in the Blessed Sacrament. My heart, which is full of mercy, and should you be unable to step into the chapel, immerse yourself in prayer there where you happen to be, if only for very brief instants." So when you work, just try to make the kid sang 3 o'clock. Just remind yourself, even you cannot come to the church, or you cannot come to prayer, or for the station of cross, you can just remind yourself, this holy hour. You don't have to stop for a whole hour, but just remind yourself, this holy hour of the divine mercy. I claim veneration for my mercy from every creature, but above all from you, since it is you that I have given the most profound understanding of this mystery. So for this reason, here in the chapel, every day we try to expose the Blessed Sacrament for 3 o'clock. So if you just by chance passing this church, come in, you know, and ask a special grace. This is a special hour. He heard words. Oh my God, I'm overcome with great longing for you today. Oh, nothing else any longer occupies my heart. The earth no longer contains anything for me. Oh Jesus, how strongly I feel this exile. How very prolonged it is for me. Oh death, messenger of God, when will you announce to me that longed for moment through which I will be united to my God forever? Oh my Jesus, may the last days of my exile be spent totally according to your most holy will. I unite my sufferings, my bitterness, and my last agony itself to your sacred passion, and offer to myself for the whole world to implore an abundance of God's mercy for souls, and in particular for the souls who are in our house. I firmly trust and commit myself entirely to your holy will, which is mercy itself. Your mercy will be everything for me at the last hour, as you yourself have promised me. So, with this sentiment for your last hour of your life, hail to you, eternal love, my sweet Jesus, who have condescended to dwell in my heart, as I salute you, O glorious Godhead, who have deigned to stoop to me, and out of love for me, have no emptied, so empty yourself, so as to assume the insignificant form of bread, so that he can be close to us. I salute you, Jesus. Never fading flower of humanity, you are all there is for my soul. Your love is purer than a lily, and your presence is more pleasing to me than the fragrance of a hyacinth. Your friendship is more tender and subtle than the scent of a rose, and yet it is stronger than death. O Jesus, incomprehensible beauty, it is with pure souls that you communicate best, because they alone are capable of heroism and sacrifice. O sweet rose-red blood of Jesus, ennoble my blood and change it into your own blood, and let this be done to me according to your good pleasure. Now Jesus responds, No, my daughter, that between me and you, there is a bottomless abyss, an abyss which separates the creator from the creature. So we are close, but we are so still far, 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 far away. So we have to remind that. Huh? But this abyss is filled with my mercy. I raise you up to myself, not that I have need of you, but it is solely out of mercy that I grant you the grace of union with myself. We are nothingness. We are nothing. Just because his love. So he invites us to come to him, to receive him, not because we have merits. We don't. Nothing. We are far, far away from the Lord. Only of his mercy that we can come to him, be close to him. So you may have a grateful heart, not take for granted. I'm strong. No. Now this is the word of Jesus. Tell souls not to place within their own hearts obstacles to my mercy, which so great is one to act within them. But mercy works in all those hearts which open their doors to it. Both the sinner and the righteous person have need of my mercy. Conversion as well as perseverance is a grace of my mercy. Conversion, change of your heart. Perseverance, not 5 minutes, whole life. So striving for perfection, particularly adore my mercy, because the abundance of graces which I grant them flows from my mercy. I decide that these souls distinguish themselves by boundless trust in my mercy. If you are different from other people, just believe in his mercy. This is the only difference. You trust, you believe. I myself will attend to the sanctification of such souls. I will provide them with everything they will need to attain sanctity. The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of one vessel only, that is trust. That's the word of Jesus teaching us. Jesus, I trust in you. We are nothingness. Just have this simplicity, humility, trust. The more so trust, the more it will receive. Souls that trust boundlessly are a great comfort to me. So not for your glory. Give comfort to Jesus. He's looking for love on earth. And if I know souls being close to him, that's a problem. So that's one of the meditation is, in the world, so many tabernacles and nobody around. And Jesus is alone. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. So that trust boundlessly are a great comfort to me, because I pour all the treasures of my graces into them. I rejoice. They ask for much because it is my desire to give much, very much. On the other hand, I'm sad when souls ask for little, when they narrow their hearts. If you're not generous, you won't have a generous heart. So that's why we may forgive more and we will be forgiven, because your heart is not forgiving. How can you receive forgiveness from the Lord? The same logic, right? So it's a beautiful today, the phrase. Last for 2 months, I will be away for 2 months. So I just want to say once again this last phrase of Jesus. Let souls who are striving for perfection particularly adore my mercy, because the abundance of graces which I grant them flows from my mercy. I decide that these souls distinguish themselves by boundless trust in my mercy. That's what you difference from other people, because you trust. Only thing different. I myself will attend to the sanctification of such souls. I provide them with everything they will need to obtain sanctity. The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of one vessel only, that is trust. The more I so trust, the more it will receive. Souls that trust boundlessly are a great comfort to me, because I pour all the treasures of my graces into them. I rejoice that they ask for much, because it is my desire to give much, very much. On the other hand, I'm sad when souls ask for little, when they narrow their hearts. So we're